Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Terry Hoffman, who founded Marketing Refresh 13 years ago with the mission to provide high-quality marketing resources to small and mid-sized business owners. Today, we're going to be discussing Terry's journey of building her agency and what she's learned along the way. Thanks so much for joining us today, Terry.
Thank you for having me, Julia. I'm really excited to be here.
Yes. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So, you know, what would you really say motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Oh, that's easy. My employees. So okay. I don't know if you follow the Enneagram model, but that is, it's not a personality assessment, but it's a tool that helps you identify your motivations.
And, oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I am a 2, which is a helper. Mm-hmm. And so that can be a great thing or a really bad thing if I'm in an unhealthy mode. But when I'm in my good mode, my whole, you know, motivation really is to help people. And so when I hear my employees talking about buying a new house or when they're preparing to have another, you know, baby or add on to their family or go on a vacation, That really motivates me to make sure that, you know, we've got a good set of clients to keep them happy. And I definitely believe in number one priority is keeping my employees happy, giving them the right environment, helping them stay motivated themselves so that they've got the right tools, because I think ultimately that really benefits our clients more than anyone.
That's really interesting. Yeah. I've had guests on before who have, you know, done the Briggs, you know, personality test before. Mm-hmm. But yeah, not this model specifically. So how has that helped your agency?
The Enneagram tool?
Yeah.
Specifically?
Yeah.
I would say that's, for me, it's just been more about self-growth. I really love, especially any type of personality or characteristic assessment, to me just helps you learn more about yourself and not only the things that, you know, are great about your own personality or your motivations, but things that are blind spots that you could work on to just, you know, be a better person, perform better as a mom, as a business owner, in any role in my life. And so I'm really into those.
Yeah. Interesting.
I like to nerd out over them for sure.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting. Is it something that you've implemented with your team as well, or it's more just for, you know, personal growth?
It's usually a question I ask during the interview process. And most people, it was kind of trendy on Instagram for a while. And so most of the people who work for me had already taken it. Or when I brought it up, they took it and kind of reported back to me. So it's something we do talk about, you know, more on a social level within our team.
Yeah.
But I think it's good, depending on your job role, to know, like, what is the thing that motivates a person, and thinking about how that applies to their responsibilities and their job role. I think that's important.
Yeah, for sure. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then, so how did you originally get into digital marketing?
Well, so when I graduated from college, it was 1994 and digital marketing didn't exist. So I started, I was a business major and wasn't exactly sure what route within the business world I wanted to take. But eventually I ended up in a marketing role for a business, a small business in Houston, and started to learn, you know, even more about branding. And at that point, I think this is maybe 5 or 6 years into my career, I can't remember the exact timing, but websites started to become a thing.
Yeah.
And companies started realizing, like, oh my gosh, we have to get a website for our business. And this is sort of in the middle of the .com era.
Yeah.
And I thought they were just fun. I had always really liked technology as a kid growing up. And it was a good time to grow up because in the 80s and 90s, that's when, you know, personal computers came out into the market. And it just was something I always gravitated towards.
Yeah.
So I thought it was fun. And then I could also see, you know, even further down the road as time evolved, when social media became more popular and broke out of the college and university environment, it was just something I was really interested in. And I could just see that people universally were starting to gravitate towards that platform, those platforms.
Yeah.
And I realized I need to learn what's going on. I probably need to really shift my career and not focus so much on direct mail and trade shows and more traditional outlets and really start to learn more about digital marketing. So I did a lot of self-study and just tried to find any information that I could online to read about different digital marketing experts and what they were doing.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So you really, you got in, you know, on the ground floor and you've really seen it evolve over the years, which is so cool.
I did. And probably a big turning point for me was a company that I worked for was a small software company in Houston, and I was in charge of their marketing, and they did, they made software for day traders. And
okay.
So I don't, some people listening may not remember back in the days when direct access to trading stocks was new. So you used to have to go through a broker only to buy and trade and sell stocks and other, you know, financial tools.
Right.
And I can't remember who was first. You know, it was probably E-Trade or Ameritrade, and they, you know, opened direct access to doing that on your own as a consumer. And I worked for a day trading company that eventually got purchased by Ameritrade. And I got to work in their marketing department, and they were, you know, spending $200-300 million a year on marketing. And I got to see how traditional marketing and digital marketing work together, because they were really at the forefront of developing a lot of the digital marketing strategies that are, you know, pretty popular now.
Wow. That's so interesting.
Yeah. It was a great experience. That was really where I got more hands-on, and it wasn't just about self-learning and figuring it out what I could do for the small business I work for. Now I could really learn how to do it at scale.
Yeah, exactly. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so where did, you know, Marketing Refresh come to be? Tell us a little bit about your story about starting the agency.
It's not very glamorous. It was really started out of necessity. So
okay.
In 2008, you know, when the housing market and the US economy really tanked and went through a major downturn. I knew I was working for a company that lost all of its funding. I was laid off, had to go back onto the job market for the first time. I had never lost a job before that I didn't choose to leave on my own. And so I was just kind of flailing around a little bit, trying to figure out what I was going to do. I was doing some freelance writing and interviewing for jobs, and a recruiter I was working with said, "I really think you should start an agency." And I really, you know, kind of reflected on what she was talking about. I never had any dreams or aspirations of starting a business, but I looked around and realized, you know, I had 4 or 5 clients that I was doing freelance work for, and thought, well, I'm going to give this a shot rather than taking another full-time job. I'm going to try something a little bit different. My kids were young at the time. It was going to be just like a better solution overall for my life to be able to work from home, take care of them. And it just gave me a better balance. And so that was really the springboard. But I was still really viewing it as more of a freelance role or a consulting role at that point, and hadn't really thought about hiring employees. And that that evolution came a few years into my business. And I kind of looked around and realized, wow, I have a lot of other freelancers that I work with on all of these projects I'm managing. I kind of have the makings of an agency. And I saw an opportunity in the market. And I think this is where I could really call myself an entrepreneur when I hit this point, is I looked around and thought, there are so many small and medium-sized businesses who are underserved by marketing as a whole. And there were a lot of freelancers like myself who were out there that would solve one piece of the puzzle. And there were many larger agencies who were interested in going after like enterprise level clients.
Yeah.
But because the access to digital marketing was starting to become more accessible for small businesses. Tools were coming out, access, ways to run different programs like managing your own Google ads or your Facebook ads. Mm-hmm. That was all evolving at the same time I was at this point in my career. And I just saw an opportunity to create a team and an agency that really provided enterprise level marketing services to small and medium sized businesses. So if you fast forward to now, you know, 10, 13 years later, you're like, that's not really revolutionary, Terry. Because now it's not. That's something that a lot of companies are doing. But I think those of us who decided to start a digital agency back then, serving small and medium-sized businesses, it was pretty unique. There weren't a lot of us doing that at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. And then, so, you know, in those early days when you were first starting out, you know, you were lucky that you had, you know, a base of, you know, 4 or 5 clients to get started with. Yes. But, you know, how did you bring on new clients? Did you have any, you know, strategies for, you know, getting out there and bringing in more clients into your agency?
Yeah, to start, I really just, you know, leveraged the network of people that I had already kind of built relationships with. So I leveraged my LinkedIn network at first to just kind of build a base of clients. And I had an outreach program that I put into place on LinkedIn. Not only with my own network, but I would search and look for other small businesses who were in Houston or in Texas who I could reach out to and, you know, just send them case studies or work samples of what we had done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I started to grow our clients that way. So it was pretty organic, and also referral based to begin with. Fortunately, we were, you know, bringing some success to the first handful of clients that we worked with.
Yeah.
And they had other entrepreneurs they were connected with or small business owners that they could recommend us to. You know, they also wanted me to grow and wanted my business to be successful because they wanted me to sustain and be around to continue to help them. So yeah. I was really, really lucky with, you know, the first handful of clients that we had.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. It sounds like it. Very cool. Mm-hmm. And then, so, you know, fast forward to today, what does your sales strategy now look like? You know, how are you bringing in more leads into your agency and then closing those prospects?
Yeah. So that's a good question, especially since we are a marketing agency. So we really do probably primarily two different things. We have a content marketing strategy, which is something that, you know, we highly recommend to all of our clients and we follow that ourselves. So we have videos and blogs and other pieces of content that we're adding to our website on a weekly basis. We're really big believers in adding case studies that represents not only like visually what we've done, but what are some of the results that we've been able to drive for our clients.
Yep.
And so we get a lot of organic traffic to the website and we get leads that way. I don't really have an intention of aggressively growing our agency. We're just under 10 full-time people right now. And I love our size. I like the feel of our team and the culture of the company at this size. I think when you go beyond this, things change quite drastically. You have to add other layers of management. And that's not just really something that I've been wanting to take on. If we wanted to do that, we would definitely be more aggressive with Google ads and LinkedIn ads. That would be the way we would go. But because I don't want to, we mainly focus on content marketing. And then I go out and I try to speak at events and I, you know, like to appear on podcasts like this, not only to help other business owners and try to help them avoid some of the mistakes I've made, but also to make sure that our name and people are aware that we're here and, you know, the market that we serve.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. And, you know, so what are some ways that you, you know, ensure that your clients are happy? You know, how do you maintain happy clients along the way?
Oh, that's huge. I mean, results is the number one way.
Yeah.
So, we serve the B2B market, and generally are working together with the company to help their sales team, you know, get more leads or to close more revenue. Mm-hmm. And so number one is results. And so we're, you know, constantly monitoring their metrics and making sure that we're having regular open conversations and really communicating, as transparently as possible. But even prior to that, like we really are selective about choosing the right relationships. It has to feel natural. You have to not only like the people that you're working with, but you have to feel like what they're asking of you and what they're expecting is something you can actually help them achieve.
Yes.
In a reasonable time and within the budget, you know, that they have in place. And so getting on the same page about those things is like the first step Because if we assess the situation and we think we can help them and we can meet the goals or even exceed the goals that they have in mind, then that's, you know, an optimal client for us. And the communication is strong, then it's really about driving the results and communicating and making sure that they know what you need from them and that mm-hmm. they're aware of what you're going to be doing. So we have weekly meetings, we send out recap emails, like we have a whole communication structure in place between our company and them so that they know what's going on. They shouldn't ever have to sit back and wonder, you know, what we're working on, where things stand, where we are in the process and how their program is performing. We are proactive about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Just having that communication dialed in is so important. You know, it's and managing those expectations right from the start is just going to help both parties just be on the same page. And it's going to help prevent, I think, any breakdown in communication down the road.
It really is. And 100%, you nailed it. We expect a lot out of the project managers. I think their title on our team is actually account managers. They are responsible for making sure everything stays on track and on time and no details fall through the cracks, but they have the hardest job in our agency. I really expect a lot out of them. They have to be mind readers, you know, they have to learn each client's communication styles and be able to adjust to that and read between the lines, you know, read people's expressions, what they might mean when they use certain words. So it's a really tough job, and they have to also stay on top of the actual marketing deliverables as well to make sure that they're all working.
Yeah.
But they're really like key in our company to keeping things on track and really making sure that our clients are staying happy with the results.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. It can definitely be such a challenging job because, you know, even, you know, when you are being proactive and, you know, following up with clients, sometimes you just run into that scenario where your clients just flat out don't get back to you, or, you know, it's just they're so busy running their day to day that it can definitely be challenging. So yeah, that's it sounds like you've done an amazing job really training your team to, you know, be paying attention to the small details, you know, that you know, that those little cues that clues along the way that might be explaining that, you know, they're not understanding something or they're unhappy with something and just aren't coming right out and saying anything.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You can, if you really learn how to read people, you can tell when they're not happy with something and they're maybe just a little bit uncomfortable trying to express it. We do invite our clients to be open. And I mean, when you're in marketing, you have to be able to take criticism and, you know, in a professionally communicated way.
Yeah.
I don't tolerate, you know, non-professionalism, that type of behavior out of clients.
Absolutely.
They have to treat, you know, my employees with respect, obviously, and we would do the same. But when they're like just kind of tiptoeing around something, you have to be able to read that and help and be proactive, like going to them and saying, offering the right types of suggestions and solutions. So it's like part mind reader, counselor, psychiatrist, marketing person. But that's the job. That's why people are outsourcing and paying you, that you have to go that extra mile.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you guys do, you know, monthly reporting with your clients?
We do. We do. We use a tool called Google Data Studio, and we've, you know, built out templates that are pre-designed to serve up just like high level executive reports. We can break that down further for people on the team who are interested in digging into more details, but mm-hmm. usually our clients are like, how much should I spend? How much should I make? You know, that's really what the information that they're after. A lot of the marketing vocabulary and metrics that we love to nerd out over are what I would, you know, put under the umbrella of leading indicators to business success. And we as marketers have to watch those leading indicators, but they only care about the lagging. Like, did I make money from this? And how much money did I make? And was that the smartest and most efficient way for me to make that money? Or could I have made that same amount of money spending less to get there?
Okay. So you just try to keep it really simple, just focusing on the deliverables that they really care about and keeping everything else, you know, if it's something that they're interested in delving into, obviously, I'm sure you would elaborate on it, but you just really Absolutely. Try to keep your reporting simple.
We do, because I think you can gauge that also So that's another read the client situation. Most of them at the end of the day, that's the main thing they care about. But if something isn't working well and the metrics aren't there, then being able to dig into the details to show them why and what we're going to do about it and what support we need from them to get it done, then, you know, then they want to know the details for sure.
Okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we make it all available all the time. That's just generally what they care about.
Yeah, exactly. No, it makes sense. They're super busy. Mm-hmm. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome along the way?
Mm-hmm. Mm. I'm going to say two things. Okay. Number one is money, cash flow.
Yeah.
Any small business owner that I would, like, if somebody doesn't say that answer as their number one biggest challenge, it's always surprising to me. But just maintaining consistent cash flow has been the biggest challenge.
Yeah.
Because you've got to plan your resources, you know, around that. You can't overhire or underhire so that you can't deliver on the work. And so just kind of balancing those two has been, you know, the biggest constant challenge. It practically makes my husband on an annual basis ask me why I'm continuing to do it. Because every year there's a different type of challenge. I think what comes with time and age and experience in running a business is you are better at looking for indicators that things could be going wrong, and you can plan ahead and forecast with a lot more accuracy and predictability. You know, red flags to look for, you know, warning signs. Like, there's just so much that you learn after going through time, not just intuitively, but also in the numbers. Like when you're looking at your reporting and you can see certain things changing, you know how to make those adjustments more proactively.
Yeah. And what is that, you know, sign that you look for that you need to hire someone? What is, you know, are there any things that you really look for there?
Yeah. Well, and so this kind of gets to like our second biggest challenge is you've got to have established processes that you're following for any type of project or scope of work that you take on. And then you have to have some kind of system that you use or
Definitely.
Software that you use to manage that.
Yeah.
You know, it did take me some time to really buy into that and actually implement something. It mm-hmm. changed my business completely. Completely changed our business and transformed it as soon as we had that implemented. And so we run time tracking reports so that we can see, based on the work we just signed on, here's how many more resources are going to be needed. I can, you know, evaluate who's got availability to see if I can assign a team to it, or if we just need to bring in a contractor for a certain role, or if there's enough work that we can see for a sustained period of time, then that indicates to me it's time to hire somebody and start recruiting for a certain position.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. We're actually adding onto that tool, and I'm really excited. It's taking a lot of time from myself and parts of my team, but we're actually adding in each different task that we work on will have a time estimate. And then when we log our time, we can kind of see the disparities and the gaps. So
interesting.
That will help me look at workload management for the team, but it will yep. also help me do a better job of more accurately pricing and measuring our own profit margin, you know, and that can be touchy to even put out there because clients should actually care that we're successful. Like my clients should want us to be profitable and successful, but get, you know, the best deal that they can get for yeah. their budget. But if we're doing a good job, they're going to want us to be successful. So I'm pretty open with our clients and talking to them about things that we're trying to improve in our own systems so that they know I'm being smart. Like I'm trying to really do a good job of improving how I'm managing the company so that we're around for a lot longer and we can continue to work with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's interesting that you're going to be implementing the time tracking software as well. So have yeah. you started doing that yet? Or that's something that's in the works at this point?
We have, we use a product called Teamwork.
Okay.
It's similar to Monday or Asana, you know, those are all great products. We just happen to pick Teamwork and implement it.
Yeah.
And we've been doing time tracking for several years, but we're now implementing, the projected workload for each project so that we can see how the time tracking compares to that projection.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very, very cool.
Yeah. It's boring stuff. It's not really that fun. And I kind of hate every second of it until you see the report run and you get the data that you need to make better decisions. Then
exactly.
It's all worth it.
Exactly. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, where do you see Marketing Refresh in 5 years' time?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question. You know, I see us evolving right along with the trends in the market. There's so many things that there are a couple of us on the team who, aside from doing our jobs, we try to really follow the next marketing trends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're trying to figure out which ones we really want to latch onto and make a part of our service offering so that we can then turn around and kind of train the rest of our team and make sure that they're educated about it as well. So we can do a good job of delivering on that. But, you know, I see us continuing to stay around the same size, mm-hmm. but also really trying to be kind of smarter about which types of clients we choose to work with. I think always looking to improve, you know, not only the quality of our skills and our service, but also the quality of our clients and types of clients that we're engaging with is just really important. You have to go through that evaluation each year, and you might have to end up parting ways with some clients that don't fit that model. And mm-hmm. those are really, really hard decisions, especially when you kind of invested in each other's personalities and getting to know each other. But those are some tough decisions that you have to make sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what makes an ideal client for you guys?
Yeah. Number one, they pay on time.
Huge.
Huge. Yeah. I mean, that's not a joke. If you're in business, find clients who pay on time.
Yeah, exactly.
Key. The second is, you know, people who actually like really value your opinion and they know what they're trying to accomplish with their business, and they understand that marketing is a tool for them and it's kind of a weapon that they can use to support their sales efforts. And mm-hmm. I think just people who actually respect and trust, you know, the guidance that we're giving them, we make recommendations that they may not always take for business reasons. But that, you know, finding a company who values our opinion and invests in the time that it takes for us to be successful in marketing their business and commits the resources and, you know, kind of makes it a priority. That also sounds like it should be a given, but it's not always a given in a relationship. You know, it's like the old adage of the client is always right. Mm-hmm. I definitely believe that to a certain degree because we're being paid to serve their needs. But
yep.
I also believe that it's kind of like a handshake. You both have to reach your arm out and your hands have to meet in the middle. And so there has to be an investment on their side in the relationship that they really, you know, kind of value and trust what you're saying.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense because at the end of the day, you don't want to end up when you're in a position where you're just an order taker, you know, you guys are the experts in the industry. So it's important that mm-hmm. they are, you know, taking your recommendations and they're fully invested and are trusting you guys at the end of the day.
Right. Exactly. I mean, those two things alone really are the two most important things to me. And then beyond that, it's, do we have the same communication style? You know, and what I mean by that is whether they like texting, calling, Zooming, emailing, you know, whatever, we'll make those adjustments.
Yep.
But like, do we work at the same pace? Are we comfortable, you know, saying this is what I'm going to be working on next and they agree with that, and then we don't get like crossed up and not on the same page and have a tough time getting on the same page? Because you often will just come across people in your career where you're like, we don't communicate the same. We are not on the same page. I think you're a very successful person. I'm sure you can go on and find somebody who's more in alignment with how you're communicating. And then we're going to go and do the same. You can both be successful, but if you don't communicate the same way and you can't figure out, you know, how to get from point A to point B together and that teamwork is there.
Yep.
It's not a good fit, you know, and those are all things that I look for in a relationship. you can kind of figure them out intuitively. But if something ever doesn't feel right, then I talk about that with the person. And I'm kind of open about the things I'm concerned about. And I invite them to be open in the same way back.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really great point. And it's so true. You know, if you're not on the same page, you don't communicate the same way. It's just going to make just basic communication so difficult.
Yeah. And it'll end up leading to frustrations on both sides. And
yeah.
If you know, like I say to people all the time, like, I really would rather be outside hiking or hanging out with my kids, like all day for my husband. I'm sure you feel the same way about your own personal hobbies and things that you love to do, but I have to make money. So I have to go to work every day. And if I'm going to do that and I'm going to spend time away from things that I would really prefer to be doing, I better like the people I'm working with.
Yeah.
Like, it's just that simple to me.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to work and I don't enjoy that group that I'm spending my time around, why am I doing it?
Yeah, exactly. Life's too short.
What's the point? Yeah. Yeah. Like, life's way too short for that. So we can have fun. We can help each other make money. We can enjoy each other's company. There's like billions of people on the planet. So if we don't fit together, we can both find somebody else that fits us better.
Yeah. And it's so good for your team morale as well. You know, you don't want to end up when you're in a situation where your team is getting frustrated because of your clients not communicating clearly as well. So that's another big factor.
It is. It's a really big factor. It's really important to me. And I do think, I mean, I appreciate it just for my own mental health, but I do think my employees appreciate that as well, because they feel like I have their back, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but do you have any, you know, final words of wisdom or final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
You know, I would say the biggest thing is having other business owners, you know, like listening to a podcast like this is such a huge help. Not because I think I'm some expert, but it just helps so much when you can talk to other people who have been through what you've been through. And I would love it if anybody who's listening felt comfortable enough to reach out to me to say, you know, I could really love to talk, use your advice or talk something through with you. Even if it's just to commiserate. I mean, as an example, I raised my kids while I started a business. Mm-hmm. You know, my youngest is 21 and is a senior in college now. Totally different phase of life. But I was a working mom for most of the years that, you know, I was building my company and building a business. And, you know, particularly if there are any working moms listening, whether they own their own business or they're in the marketing realm, I'm always more than happy to be a support to them and kind of help them through those moments that are just really tough to navigate.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yes. Well, I'll definitely put your contact information in the podcast description. So if anyone's listening, want to reach out to you, they will know how to get in touch.
Awesome. Good.
Awesome. All right. Well, we're going to move on to the fast five now, which are five rapid fire questions. So first question, what is a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
My answer might be a little surprising. So the most impactful book I've ever read is The Color Purple. I've read it multiple times. I absolutely love that book. I know it's not a business book, but I feel like it just really teaches you so much about life and humility and like really appreciating for myself personally, the way that I grew up versus how so many, like the true struggles people really have.
Yeah.
Growing up and just kind of going through life. And it's such a well-written book.
Interesting. I've never read it. I definitely have to check that out.
It's such a good book.
It's a good one. Nice.
It's a tearjerker though. Be ready to cry.
Okay. Good to know. Perfect. And then, so next question, what does your morning routine look like?
My morning routine, I'm not a morning person, but I do need to get up early to start my day.
Yeah.
So definitely a cup of coffee is like the first thing that's going to be in my hand as I get my day going. Mm-hmm. I like to just have some quiet time for like the first half an hour that I'm awake. When I'm really doing well, that means doing some either Bible study or some type of like self-reflection type reading that just kind of helps me think about, get more focused on my day and just kind of like have a little mental breather.
Yeah.
when I'm not being as disciplined about that, it might just be playing a game on my phone to kind of just like get ready for the day.
Yeah. And just have a little,
like brainless downtime while I drink my first cup of coffee and get my day going.
Awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
So many.
Who's so your favorite?
Yeah. My favorite is one of my clients, and it's going to sound like a little bit of a kiss up move, but so one of my clients is named Cody Johnson. He's the CEO of National Signs, and I just think he's a great example of a leader. He's just got all of the qualities that, you know, I would like to be able, some of them are just personality traits that I'll never be able to achieve, but how he treats his company and how he treats his employees and the respect that he always treats people with, I think is just awesome. He's such a good leader. He's That's cool. known to be like a turnaround CEO to help companies who have gotten into a bad situation and really, you know, need to be turned around. So I think the things he's been able to accomplish are really amazing, and I can access him. Like I can talk to him, right?
Yeah.
There's bigger names out there. I also happen to be in a great agency group in Houston that is other marketing agency owners. We meet once a month and like pick each other's brains on different like things that and issues that we're dealing with. And I really respect the people in that group because we're kind of like in it together and, you know, trying to grow our agencies and be successful.
Yeah.
And helping each other.
Yeah. Very cool. I love that. Great answer.
Community is huge when you are really in any type of work world. It doesn't matter if you're entry level, the CEO of the company, or anything in between, you have to find a community that relates to where you are in your career and also where you want to go.
Yep. I agree totally. It's they say your network is your net worth. So yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I know a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, they like the big, you know, mogul CEOs to look up to, you know, like Elon Musk. But at the end of the day, the problems that Elon Musk is facing in his business are not usually very relatable to, you know, someone running, you know, a marketing agency. So I think it's so important to have those CEOs that, yes, that you aspire to be, to work towards where they are, but also someone, you know, battling out the same issues that you're encountering on a day-to-day basis.
That's right. Yeah. I'm sure. I mean, just from listening to your prior episodes, you have hundreds of people who fit that mold that people be listening to. Mm-hmm.
Yes, totally. And I'm always very open. You know, I'm happy to make introductions if anyone's ever listening and they, you know, think, wow, that, you know, agency owner would be really interesting to pick their brain. I'm always happy to make that introduction as well.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And so next question, what is your favorite online tool?
Ooh, the Slack account?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That would be my favorite then.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
That I can be intentional about where I want my career to go. And maybe when I'm starting, I'm still, you know, trying to figure out what my goals even are at that point.
Yeah.
But once you start to get your arms around any type of goal, whether it's temporary and you're still trying to figure it out, or if you know, like very clearly, this is my goal. When you have that, if you work backwards from that and start to figure out what the steps are that you have to take, you can achieve just about anything, you know, that you have a plan for.
Yeah.
It really sounds simple. And I know that, you know, when I'm like nearly age 50 and if somebody, you know, 26 is listening to this, they're like, but I don't even know what those steps are. Yeah. Well, no, you don't. There are things that I don't know what the steps are to get to my next goal, but you've got to read and you've got to go out there and talk to people and you start filling in the gaps and putting those steps into place. You can actually achieve just about any goal.
Yeah.
You put your mind to and you have a plan for.
I love that. Once you start looking at things through the lens of this is where I want to go, then you can, like you said, just be really intentional about is what I'm doing right now going to take me closer to that goal or further away from it. And you're just going to really boost your chances of, you know, getting lucky and meeting that goal.
Right. Yeah. Go for it.
Exactly.
You know, that's like, if I could have told myself something back then, my first job was with the Houston Rockets. So I wasn't really shy about going and knocking on a door where, you know, you may traditionally have a really hard time getting hired. I am always kind of like a go for it type person. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think just really trying to stay ahead of where you want to go next and like working towards it is huge.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Terry. It was a pleasure to have you on the podcast, and I really enjoyed chatting with you.
Thank you. Me too. Thank you so much, Julia. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.